96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable with two big stories tonight. NBC's Today Show anchor Matt Lauer fired over sexual harassment allegations and accusations of grade fixing at Ballou High School here in the District of Columbia. My guests are Simone Pathé, senior politics reporter for TheRollCall.com, Jesse Holland, political reporter for the Associated Press, and political analyst Justin Duckham. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM.
And we are grappling with a dilemma that so many people have faced these past few weeks. How do you reconcile your love for someone with the revelation that they have behaved badly? Mm-hmm. And I don't know the answer to that.
Savannah Guthrie, this morning, just after 7 a.m. on the Today Show, sitting next to Hoda Kotb, holding back tears as she announced the firing of Matt Lauer. This is a huge, huge day, huger than yesterday, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I'll start. What's next? Who's next? Simone.
Wow. You know, I obviously I don't know who's next. There's certainly a lot of rumors flying around, both in town, on Capitol Hill, in the media world. You know, it's not as if a lot of these rumors are new. What I think is interesting is that not so much in politics maybe, but in the media landscape, we've come to the point where the cost-benefit analysis now is clearly on the side of getting rid of these people, right? We've seen that with Mark Halperin, with Charlie Rose, now with Matt Lauer. You know, stations and networks are realizing that it's no longer profitable for them to be on board with these allegations coming out.
I think the more interesting question than who's next is what industry's next. Mm-hmm. Because keep in mind, we started in the political world, mm-hmm. moved to the business world, moved to the entertainment world. Now it's in the media world. What industry's next? Are we going to start seeing this in sports? Are we going to start seeing this in literature? Are we going to start seeing this on campuses? So this is a slow-moving wave that's moving through all different American industries right now. Today, in the last couple of days, a director of two superhero shows on television was let go from two popular superhero shows because of past bad behavior. We're seeing this slowly trickle through the entire American economy. So the question, I think the more interesting question is not who's next, what position, if any, is safe from this?
And also what it's going to look like after. These are huge cultural icons who are being brought down. And when the dust settles, if it actually does settle, since there are bound to be more of these incidents, we are going to be living in a culture where we are no longer going to have these figures as part of our daily conversation, and also this situation where hopefully this behavior won't be tolerated, but ultimately the floodgates have opened, and that is why this is not going to be slowing down anytime soon. Simone mentioned there are rumors surrounding a lot of public figures. I'm sure all of us know some individuals who we've probably worked with where we've heard, scary stories from that, and that is not going to go away. And now that there is an environment where these stories will be believed, will be investigated, and people are willing to come forward, this just very well could be the new normal.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about two of the huge stories of the day, Matt Lauer being fired over sexual harassment allegations. We're also going to talk about accusations of grade fixing at Ballou High School here in the District of Columbia. Is this a good time for women? Is this the a point at which women are going to be emboldened not only to talk about the Me Too kind of situation, but what this may mean for them going forward in politics, in private industry, and the like.
I think it's hard to describe it as a good time, because this is a time where people are having to recount some of the worst things that's happened to them in their lives. I think it's more of a time of reckoning than to say it's a good time for women. Because keep in mind, we really haven't seen women get promoted to these positions that these men are leaving. So it's not like they're moving up the ladder immediately. The only thing is changing is the face in those positions. We don't see a lot of I haven't seen many women being moved into those positions. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I would just immediately jump to this being a good time. But I would say that just like we had last year when minorities began to report the incidents with police and people said for the first time in a long time, oh, my God, this could be true. Mm-hmm. We're now seeing women being able to talk about these sexual instances happening to them. And people, instead of dismissing it immediately out of hand, are saying, wait a minute, this could be true. So it's becoming this time of reckoning in our society, where a year ago, maybe even 6 months ago, definitely 2 years ago, some of these complaints would have been just dismissed as, well, no, I can't. That he wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. We see him on television. He wouldn't act like that.
Mm-hmm. And you do make an interesting point. For men that are in positions of power to hire and fire, will this make them gun shy in hiring women? Could that be a detriment to women in industry that are hoping to, like anyone else, move up, you know, in the world, in their careers?
I think that's a really scary possibility, and it's something that's been going on long before this. There have been stories on Capitol Hill years ago about male members of Congress who will not permit themselves to be in a room alone with a female staffer because they are afraid of the consequences. You know, the question there is, well, why can't they control themselves? But the repercussion more immediately is that these women can obviously not be chiefs of staff. If you can't be alone with your male boss, that is a preclusion to having senior level jobs. I want to make one other point, though, about the legitimacy with which these women's stories are being taken. I think that's mm-hmm. great. But let's not forget that a lot of these situations that we're talking about are happening to relatively high profile women in well paying careers, you know, a lot of visibility in journalism on Capitol Hill. But like, what about the women who have to go through this every day, who are right. housekeepers or, you know, we're not talking about them. We're not hearing about their stories.
Working in restaurants and the like.
And there's no indication that the behavior that they have to suffer through is going to change at all from these conversations.
You made an interesting point during the campaign. Then Vice Presidential candidate Mike Pence made a big deal about not going to lunch or dinner with any woman by himself other than his wife. And I remember the pundits back then saying, really? You know, I mean, you're a vice presidential candidate. It's, you know, 2016, and, you know, you have to interact with women. And a lot of people chuckled at that. Are we chuckling now, Justin?
Well, I think this also raises the fact that discrimination needs to be part of this conversation. What we understand right now is beyond just the sexual harassment allegations we've seen that are coming out of the sort of hush fund, that also includes instances of racial discrimination, instances of sexism or wrongful hiring or wrongful firing. And that needs to be revisited as well. And that seems like something right now that has been swept under the rug, but ultimately needs to be discussed once this moves forward.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. We're talking about the firing of Matt Lauer over sexual harassment allegations. Also, we're also going to deal with the Ballou High School accusations of grade fixing. Let's go to Ivan, calling from D.C. Ivan, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment.
Sure.
And I guess, as an American taxpayer, I was just appalled. You know, I guess they're asking, you know, the possibility of Congressman Connor stepping down and, you know, with this sexual harassment thing with Matt Lauer. But, you know, we have a lot of the enablers, and I think the enablers ought to be fired also. You know, like the young lady who said this is Charlie only being Charlie, the young lady where she was, you know, when these people went to her with these accusations. But my point is the people who have set up these slush funds or this non-disclosure, you know, for these other congressmen, I feel that I wish those agreements could be torn up and torn apart, and they should all be exposed, because as a taxpayer, I didn't want my tax dollars to go to settle some case, you know, for some young lady who's being sexually harassed. And then where do they go from here? I think that the whole system should, you know, everybody involved should be stepping down for this type of action, for covering it up. And they should all just be ashamed of themselves. They wouldn't want their daughter or wife or niece or somebody going through this situation and then somebody else covering up and hiding it. So why should they have the luxury of hiding behind our tax dollars?
Okay. Ivan, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I've got a few minutes before the break, but I need to get this Baloo situation on the books. We're going to be talking about both of these issues. If you have questions or comments about both of these issues, please give us a call.
I certainly am very concerned about what I read about allegations from teachers, and we take those allegations very seriously, and we will thoroughly review all policies related to attendance, graduation, and credit recovery.
Of course, that was D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser this morning, and she was responding to these grade-fixing allegations at Baloo Senior High School. Indeed, the several media investigations have revealed allegedly that there are dozens of students that received diplomas last year that did not earn them. There are reports of excessive absences, in some cases being gone for more than half of the year and still getting their diplomas. We saw the same kind of allegation coming out of a report in Prince George's County just a few weeks ago. What is going on here? That is the big question. Real quick, one comment before I go to the break about this Baloo situation, and we're going to talk about it on the other side.
Well, this is one of the almost worst accusations you can have against the school system beyond the abuse of a child is the fixing of grades, because it taints the work of everyone in the school, from the administrators to the teachers to the students who actually did the work and got the grades. For the rest of their lives, they'll have to go around saying, well, didn't you graduate that year that we were giving people degrees?
Is there an asterisk by your
name? There will be an asterisk by their name, whether this is proven or unproven at this point. So this is one of the worst accusations you can get against a school system, and it's going to be something they're going to have to get to the bottom of before it gets worse.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're on the phone, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Lines are open. We're going to take your calls after the break, so stay with us. We're at the Reporters Roundtable.
Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. We're talking about two huge stories tonight. Of course, NBC Today Show anchor Matt Lauer was fired last night over sexual harassment allegations. Also, there have been allegations that have surfaced about grade fixing at Baloo High School. Of course, my guests at the Reporters Roundtable are Simone Pathay, senior politics reporter for TheRollCall.com, Jesse Holland, political reporter for the Associated Press, and political analyst Justin Duckham. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chiquita, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Chiquita. What's on your mind?
I am so touched. I have to say I am. I've been a victim of sexual harassment on the government side. And it's just so touching to hear that they are finally now doing something and not rewarding these predators that are doing these things and allowing them to hold their position. I'm hurt at the same time that I'm touched, because I mean, being like I mean, with NBC, that's a radio, I mean, that's a TV, that's media. I mean, he's big time, but what happened, like someone said on your radio just a couple of minutes ago, they said what happens to people that, you know, like the person that works at, you know, the laundromat or something like that. Well, I was a government employee and it was done to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was swept under the carpet and it's kind of like, okay, let's do a settlement.
Yeah.
And it turned my life completely upside down. Where, I mean, I'm talking in terms of this person gets a raise instead of getting reprimanded.
Well, let's try to address that. And Chiquita, thank you so much for your phone call, because, you know, Simone, you made the point that she was talking about in reference to, you know, the regular Jane and Sue, you know, that working stiff woman who has no power, paycheck to paycheck, and sometimes not even that. Do you think that this situation, this widening scandal, could quite possibly give a lot of workplaces pause now, even those restaurants and small businesses?
Maybe, but I'm skeptical. I think this is part of a broader cultural conversation that needs to happen before we're going to see any real change. You know, I think the fact that we're talking about it is certainly a good thing. And I think it might trickle down a little bit to everyday workplaces. But I mean, I was still sexually harassed verbally on my way to work today, just walking down the street, you know.
Oh, so, street harassment, yeah. Big problem.
The issue is not something that, you know, once Congress talks about it or once Matt Lauer is gone, then suddenly people are going to be like, oh, yeah, I shouldn't do that. I don't think that works that way.
Justin.
Well, it's also not the first time our society has had a conversation about sexual harassment. You know, we had Anita Hill, we had Bill Clinton, we've had a lot of instances, and as we are seeing today, that didn't necessarily change the dynamics. The culture of whether or not people will be listened to has changed, but in terms of whether or not that's going to change behavior, there are two ways that it could go, and I'm not necessarily optimistic that it's going to end up the way that we're all hoping it will be.
Do more heads have to roll, high-profile heads such as on Capitol Hill?
That's a good question. And ultimately, Capitol Hill has a culture problem. You know, when I first started covering the Hill in 2008, I made a crack about how it was like being in high school again. And an older reporter I was working with told me that instead it was more like a frat house, which really does explain it. You know, these are people who have big egos. They come from small towns and obviously thought that they were charming enough and smart enough to, you know, hold higher office, and then are essentially on their own, away from their families over there, and things get weird. It really is a culture that needs to be changing. As we're seeing now, there were 268 cases over 20 years. I think that may actually be a little low, and that is the absolutely terrifying part of this. So the culture does need to change. I'm not sure if that's going to, you know, be prompted by more heads rolling, but either way, it's a hard issue to discuss when the culture itself is really the enabler.
And don't forget, those 268 cases, not all of them involving sexual harassment, but
right,
all of them involving settlements, secret settlements that we still don't know the details about.
Right.
So just a point I wanted to make. Chiquita, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Veronica, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
That we're not talking about the elephant. At this point, I want to call it the mammoth in the room. No one is talking about the President of the United States sexually harassing anyone. In the election, we saw a man who was talking about how he greets women. We heard him on tape. We saw him on television. And everybody around who was in the enabler in that situation, and I'm referring to, obviously, Access or Access On or whatever it is.
Access Hollywood, yeah.
Thank you, Harold. Mm-hmm. Love the show, by the way.
Thank you.
But I find it's the dumbing down of America. Why aren't we outraged that every person who has ever disrespected a woman, who the previous caller who looked sounding quite emotional about her experience?
Well, let's talk about it, Veronica. Let's go ahead and talk about it. I'll leave that to Jesse. you know, because And I say that's not exactly true. There have been, you know, discussions. We have not broached the subject yet, but thank you, Veronica, for certainly bringing it up, because the New York Times has reported this week that the president is questioning the validity or the accuracy of that Access Hollywood tape that he admitted to speaking on, apologized for during the campaign. So, Jesse, help us out here. Where are we with that conversation?
Well, I will say that this is a topic that was talked about extensively during the campaign. And what the White House would like to say is that when the American people voted, the American people made their decision during the election whether they thought that was a conversation that mattered to them or not. By the president winning, the American people said that this wasn't a conversation that they were going to hold against the president. But believe me, this is a conversation that's going on all the time in the social media world. It's going on all the time in the political world. This is not something that Washington has forgotten about, but it's not something that Washington is also focused on right now either, because the conversation has become about more than just the president. It's now becoming about the government. And so because we're now hearing conversations again about Anita Hill, we're now hearing conversations again. We've seen the conversations going on in Congress. So this is a situation where it's become bigger than the president. So it's not just about the president anymore.
Mm-hmm. Veronica, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sherry calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Sherry. What's on your mind?
Yes, I guess it's a general comment.
Go ahead.
Because you stated, first of all, Gabby Douglas and another female gymnast has come forward mm-hmm. with their trainer. And second of all, it seems to be a cultural thing amongst men, certain age ranges. People haven't noticed all of these men accused with Matt being the youngest that I've seen or heard about it from, you know, all the actors and all the stuff. They seem to be all men of a certain age range.
Let me stop you there, Sherry, because a lot of these allegations, even though they're coming out now, for example, let's talk about Roy Moore. He's in his 70s, but they're mm-hmm. talking about things that happened when he was in his 30s. When you're talking about the allegations against Congressman John Conyers, yes, he's what, in his 80s?
88.
Yeah, he's 88 years old, but mm-hmm. these allegations go back to as early as the 90s. At least that's what we're hearing right now. And so I think that a lot of these accusations, for the lion's share of these men, they were much, much younger when they happened, but not all of them, you know.
Well, mine happened in the 1980s.
Yeah. So
at USIU International University in San Diego, California, and they call us, you know, especially the young black girls that wanted to be in entertainment, actors, or anything in, you know, in California, Tinseltown, so to say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you were promised that you have the lead and everything, you be A-list and all of that.
Yeah, that's kind of the Harvey Weinstein kind of situation, and I think
that's how this kind of started.
But thank you so much for your phone call. I want to talk real quick to Missy in Baltimore. She's got a conversation that she wants to get into about the grade-changing allegations. Missy calling from Baltimore, what's on your mind?
All right. Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. So, you know, right now D.C., well, Blue High School in D.C. is experiencing someone actually retrieving information in reference to grade-changing and promotion rates. And, you know, the sad part about this is that it doesn't start with high school. As a former middle school teacher, you fail kids And, you know, everybody's coming to your room from superintendent to administration asking, what's the problem? Why do you have so many students failing? Well, if they're not turning in work and they're not making the standard or standard, then that's what happens. You call parents, you put in opportunities or make and create opportunities for students to come to your room at lunch, come to your room after school, but yet we're talking about one school when it's really the entity. Mm-hmm. And it's about, from the top to the bottom, the stresses of a classroom teacher being coerced to change grades.
Yeah.
So when I thought about it, I was like, wow, I remember teaching middle school and having eighth graders in my class who failed sixth and seventh grade.
Yeah. Hold on for a second. Justin, go ahead. You wanted to make a comment.
Well, I'm just commenting on this. The teachers themselves were the ones who were pressured by this administration. And yes. The motives behind this are just absolutely mind-boggling. This was a very big feel-good story, and that achieved the result that those who were in the administration were seeking, I guess. But it just raises a question of whether or not they thought that this was sustainable, and if it was really worth going down this road to have that sort of brief moment in the spotlight when you knew that you were setting people up for failure. So I agree with you. And, you know, at this point, though, it goes beyond just worrying about parents. It's coming from the top, and that is really what's so troubling about this.
And I think, you know, you could also argue that this situation with Baloo is not unique. As I mentioned earlier, we saw this same kind of situation come up in Prince George's County. This came up in Atlanta. So, hold on for a minute. It came up in Atlanta a handful of years ago. And so this isn't today. It's a Baloo story. Last month, it was a Prince George's County story. Several years ago, it was an Atlanta story. But the reality is, one could argue this is happening in a lot of places, Simone.
Yeah, it's certainly not the first story I've heard along those lines. And I guess if we're going to tie together the two themes of the night, my overarching reaction is it's just really sad for public institutions, whether it's the media or public schools, that we're supposed to trust as being arbiters of fairness and, you know, educating our citizens in multiple ways. And the disservice this does to kids, really, at the end of the day, is pretty upsetting.
So we've heard social promotion for many, many years, Jesse. There have been arguments in social media today that awarding degrees or awarding diplomas so that these children that may be coming from difficult circumstances can at least have the paper so that they can get out in the world. And I think that some of the teachers that were involved in some of the investigations really, you know, had difficult feelings about that. They want them to be able to read and write, but they also want them to at least have the document. They were torn.
Right. Well, and I have to tell my bias about this up front because both of my parents are retired public school teachers in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So just that's my bias up front because I saw them go through this whole conversation back in the 70s in Mississippi about social promotion. And it's a very difficult subject for everyone because no one wants to set up a child for failure.
Yeah.
But you also cannot give someone a degree and they can't do the basic things that are required for survival. Having the piece of paper and not being able to read and write doesn't help you to have the paper when you can't fill out the job application because you can't read what it says. So it's a catch-22 situation. You give them the paper and they don't deserve it. They're still not going to be able to fill out the job application. You don't give them the paper and they don't get the job application because it requires a high school graduation degree.
It's a catch-22.
So it's a catch-22 for teachers.
Thank you so much. Also, Missy, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the two big stories of the day, allegations of grade fixing at Baloo High School, and, of course, this widening sexual harassment scandal. Matt Lauer, out of a job. Garrison Keillor, out of a job. We'll be back in just a moment. SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about the two big stories tonight, the widening sexual harassment scandal, including the firing of Matt Lauer, Today Show anchor, and Garrison Keillor, the founder of A Prairie Home Companion. If you're not familiar with it, it's a big NPR thing. He was the host for some 42 years. He also fired for alleged inappropriate actions with a coworker, female coworker, and also the allegations of grade fixing at Ballou High School here in the District of Columbia. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Teresa calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Teresa. What's on your mind?
Hi, my name is Teresa. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I'm in Washington County, Maryland. I never realized how the grade fixing was as widespread as it is. My daughter right now is in the 12th grade. She's set to graduate and next year. However, they said last year she had all her credits. She does have an IEP. How she received all her credits last year, because they wanted her to actually graduate last year, I guess they looked at her as a problem child. She roamed the halls a lot. But they beefed up her grades. She took a placement test actually last Saturday at a college. Now, they have her thinking she's just so smart because her grades are looking good. She took the placement test, and it was absolutely horrifying what she received. Yeah. We also found out that there were other tests that she never took, but yet she's still on target to graduate. What do we do? I mean, right now, she was thinking she was just the smartest thing, but I don't want her not to graduate. I don't want to keep digging much deeper to where she won't graduate. What do I do in this situation?
I think that is the $65,000 question. She's set to graduate in this spring?
Yes.
Wow. Thoughts about where, you know, where this goes. What should a parent do?
I can just tell you my experience. I graduated as valedictorian of my high school in Mississippi and came out with a 4.0 grade average and thought I was doing great, and then got to college and realized how much I didn't know.
Yeah, and there were 250 other valedictorians.
At least 250 other.
Yeah.
And their 4.0s apparently were better than my 4.0s because they had their schools were different than mine. I would say what you can do is you've already done the best thing that you can do is that she already now knows what she doesn't know.
Right.
And now you move forward from that point because there's nothing else you can do at this point. You want to go ahead and graduate. You want to keep going with your higher education. You now know what you need to do. I took summer school classes before my freshman year because I realized that I didn't have the college math that I needed. I realized I didn't have the foreign language experience that I needed to make the basic classes in the summer in when fall started. So I had to start taking summer school classes early to make sure I was ready for my freshman year. So you've already taken the first and best step. You now know what you don't know.
Right.
Yeah, well, Teresa, thank you so much. And certainly, you know, good luck to you and your daughter as she moves through this process. Justin, who's responsible for these kinds of situations in our American school systems? Is it the administrators? Is this about bean counting? Is this about money and image? What's going on?
That's a good question. And if I knew the answer to that, I would be pursuing a career in higher education and trying to fix it myself.
You'd be bottling and selling it, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, yeah. I don't know what the answer to this is. I'm not sure who the, you know, boogeyman is, and I'm not sure if it's really that simple. I'm not sure if there is a magic bullet or one solution you can go down or one person you can blame, and I think that is what really raises the bigger issues here.
Yeah. Rick, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Rick. What's on your mind?
Oh, thanks for having me on your show. I was listening to your the show earlier on the way home. As far as the harassment, and the thing with Mr. Weinstein opened up a floodgate, and people that have had this in the closet and people that are coming out now because of that, it's like it's going to be more and more people are going to be brought down. And you know, it could be anybody. And it's going to start to top the more famous the person, you know, it'll spread. And it's also political, like, you know, Congressman Connors and all these other people, you know, it's just until, you know, people start acting, you know, normal or whatever, you know. And Congressman Connors already, they're investigating for that $27,000 cover-up. So he did something wrong 20, 30 years ago, whatever.
Yeah. Rick, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I have about 5 minutes left. Where does this go from here, short of one other big name, when you're talking about the sexual harassment thing? Is there going to be, are we going to get to a point where it's just not the big news anymore, and that there has to be some kind of, as Justin said, a reckoning, Simone? What's the next evolution of this story?
I think one interesting test case will be Alabama. We've got a special election on December 12th here with a candidate who has been disavowed by most Republican Senate leaders in Washington, but not by the president, has not necessarily said that, you know, people shouldn't vote for him. And I don't know if you guys saw Quinnipiac last week released some pretty stunning numbers that show a partisan split in the attitudes of voters towards candidates who are facing these kinds of allegations. They asked if you agreed with the candidate on every other issue, but they were facing allegations from multiple women of this type, would you still vote for that person? 43% of Republicans said they would. 12% of Democrats said they would. So, and you're seeing this on both sides, right? Mm-hmm. The parties, if you look at Al Franken, people are saying, well, yeah, but he votes the right way. Mm-hmm. So it's not as big of an issue. People are falling back on political arguments to justify behavior of politicians or media figures, whatever, from wherever background they're from. But I think Alabama will be a really interesting case if this guy, Roy Moore, does end up coming to the Senate. You know, how is he treated? What does that look like? Does he actually get expelled? Is there a pushback? That doesn't necessarily say that the conversations will continue elsewhere, but it'll be one interesting example.
Real quick, you mentioned Al Franken and Roy Moore. It's almost like, you know, some people will say, well, you know, yeah, Al Franken, he's a nice guy, and he was a comedian, and he's funny, and so, yeah, he should stay. But Roy Moore, who's, you know, bringing pistols to the podium and, you know, spouting fire and brimstone, and, you know, so maybe he shouldn't stay. You know, that's what, you know, some of the partisans are, mm-hmm. are certainly saying. But the reality is that, you know, both of them are in some trouble, you know, and that's the way that I think we need to continue to examine it. Your thoughts, what's the next evolution in this, Justin?
Well, it's difficult when you have people like Al Franken and Roy Moore, who really could not be more dissimilar, mm-hmm. Not fitting the same profile, but still facing the same general type of allegations, and trying to come to a conclusion with this and trying to have an honest conversation when there are those who are still not facing any consequences for their behavior. Your caller mentioned earlier the president. He has not yet faced any negative repercussions for this. He, you know, went through the campaign and ended up reaching higher office. Roy Moore looks like he is on his way to being a senator. So while it could be coming from either sides, the fact that there is one side of this, which just needs to be acknowledged, who is not cleaning up their house, who is not dealing with this on their own, and not even having a real serious conversation with it when the leader of the party is essentially just brushing it off and relying on the the denial that he gave initially, that's troubling.
Yeah. Your thoughts of next evolution in this, Jesse?
And I always like to look to the past to see the road to the future. We are starting to see some Democrats try to reconcile their thoughts about their defense of Bill Clinton back during his days. And we're seeing more and more conversations about reconciling what happened to Anita Hill during the Clarence Thomas mm-hmm. hearings on Capitol Hill, and to try to find a way forward by looking back at how we've treated these type of accusations in the past. And we also have to keep in mind,
we had these accusations against President George H.W. Bush just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So these cases are not only rippling forward, they're also now rippling backwards as we reevaluate what we think about these people who've had these accusations against them in powerful positions in the past and how we treated their accusers back then. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be that's a good roadmap to look back to see what might happen next.
Oh, and don't forget, we possible government shutdown, tax reform. Let's not forget
North Korea shooting North missiles.
Boy, I need another hour for all of that. But Simone Pathé, Jesse Holland, and Justin Duckham, thank you all so much for coming in and sharing your thoughts about that. I tell you, more and more to look at as we come to the end of 2017. Boy, what a year it's been. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, November 29th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.